All right, welcome to another episode of Beat the Spread. I'm your host, Bills, with my co-host, The Horse. We're going to kick things off with a new segment, and it's the You Fucked Me Player of the Week. And I think it could be the same guy. I don't know if Shea has someone else, but for me, it's definitely Josh Scobie. The Steelers were such a lock, and it was such a good pick that we nailed. And then this fucking guy misses back-to-back field goals and puts so much uncertainty in the hands of his offensive coordinator that they don't let him try it a third time. They end up losing by three, ends up being a pretty brutal push for us. Shea, who you got in the You Fucked Me Player of the Week?
Well, before I say that, first of all, that was just so brutal because honestly, if he had just hit one of those three, even a touchdown would have kept the spread under the plus three. It was just we saw it coming and we picked the right team, but it just didn't end up working out. My Fucked Me Player of the Week, I was on the Seahawks last week, and Russell Wilson's fumble returned for a hurt the spread and took it out of the go zone, and he fucked me pretty bad.
Yeah, that was a tough loss. I was on the Lions, which will bring me into a, which will give me, take us to a recap of how we both did last week. And there's no lead in music because neither of us won. It was, we both tied. We both went 8-6-1 with that one game being the Steelers push. And so it was a solid week in a week that was very tough on gamblers. Most people lost. It was a big bounce back week for Vegas. We went 8-6-1, and we're okay with it, but we're looking to do better this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 8-6-1 is still going to keep you making some money, but nothing serious that we want to make.
Yeah. All right. So before we go into the picks, we're going to talk about some hot stuff that's been going on lately. We're kind of going to go from least serious to most serious, with the three topics being Martellus Bennett comments, Greg Hardy comments, and then talk about the Dolphins, which is probably the most serious of the three, in my opinion. So let's get started. Martellus Bennett compared Jay Cutler to Jesus Christ. What is your take?
Honestly, it came after the Bears beat the Oakland Raiders 20-20 at home. I think it's a little early to start saying stuff like that. I don't know where Martellus Bennett's coming out with that, but honestly, they're playing at home and they should beat the Raiders. They're a terrible team. I think just like over the past 6 years, they've been the worst team in the NFL. So, I don't know. He shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff after the game. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, the Raiders haven't been good. I mean, they've turned it around a little bit. I like Derek Carr to Amari Cooper. They're better than they've been. They were favored in that game. I kind of love it. I think Jay Cutler's the man. I draft him as my backup quarterback in fantasy every year. And I think this just, you know, it shows that the guys like him and he's not necessarily as big of a clown as he's made out to be in the media. If, you know, if you have guys going to bat for him, then maybe the Bears aren't as big a disaster as we thought, but they probably are. But I kind of like this.
You see him compare Jay Cutler to Keanu Reeves or something like that?
So maybe this guy's just off his rocker. He's my tight end in fantasy.
You also have Cutler, right?
We waived Cutler. We might try and pick him up, though. We got Cam Newton on by.
In a couple of weeks, Williamson.
That'll be good. We just got back to 2-2.
Yeah, I'm at 2-2 also.
What about Huff on top of the league?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's ridiculous. That'll shake out. But anyway.
Still a pretty likely situation of him coming in last.
Yeah. So next thing is Greg Hardy's back playing for the Cowboys this week, which I'm excited about because Greg Hardy's a savage. But he also said, he picks his Pro Bowl quarterbacks based on how attractive their wives are. He said something like he hopes Giselle's going to be at the game. And I think it's just like the funniest shit in the world. I love it. Like he's, I mean, the last thing you want to do is piss off Tom Brady, But it's so funny that Greg Hardy, it just gives no fucks about anything. Like, he should have gone to jail for spousal abuse or, you know, sexual assault, whatever the term is. And now he's just openly, like, basically throwing Brady's face in the fact that, like, his wife's hot. And it's like Greg Hardy essentially is saying, like, is taking a huge shot at him here, right?
Honestly, he was talking about her sister too, which is, I find hilarious. Honestly, Greg Hardy's probably going to just try and rip Tom Brady a new one, which I'd love to see. Honestly, Tom Brady, I mean, he's a stud, but he's been just killing everyone this year in fantasy. But I think Greg Hardy is ready to come back from his suspension, and I think he's going to get a couple sacks, but I do well, I'll talk about that later, but I do think the Pats are going to cover in that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's like, he's basically saying, he's basically rubbing everyone's face in the fact that he, like, abuses women, which is no laughing matter, and I'm not saying it, like, that way, but it's so funny that he just, like, that the Cowboys didn't give him any kind of, didn't coach him up at all on how to handle the media, and basically just sent this guy in there to, like, free ball it. And this is the kind of shit he's going to say. I think it's hilarious. Next thing, onto the Dolphins disaster.
Did you hear about Did you hear about Rick Ross wants to buy the Dolphins, or like wants to buy like 10% of the Dolphins?
Does Rick Ross have that much money? I feel like Rick Ross is a classic guy who like should who's like you're gonna find out he's broke in like two years. What was his big song? I guess he has a lot of them.
Yeah, he has a few. He's riding the Drake wave.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty funny. Why does I didn't hear that.
No, yeah, I just saw that online. I was looking up some shit on Philbin and the Dolphins, and it just came up that he's trying to buy, like, some of the team.
Well, that's all right. They can't do any worse, right?
Yeah.
Their one win came on, like, a shaky game against the Redskins. All right, have you heard the other reports, though?
Which one?
Like, Sue wearing sneakers to practice, like, no, he wasn't wearing cleats, and the stuff where Tannehill was getting picked off by all the practice squad guys, and was like,
yeah,
he'd be like, enjoy your practice squad check, you, like, loser, and, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe that, dude. That was absurd. Especially because, like, practice squad players, like, they're just happy to, like, be out there balling, and, like, you're the quarterback of the team, like, trying to, like, in the beginning of the season, they were thought to be like a 10-win possible team. And now they're just looking bottom of the barrel of their division.
People had them, and I thought they were going to be good. All right, hold on. We got a guy calling in. So we'll put that topic on hold. Let's see what this guy's got. Hello, you're on.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the show, but I just want to throw a question out there. What do you think of the Jets' postseason hopes this year? Last weekend, they looked pretty good in London against the Dolphins, but, you know, I don't know if they've really been tested yet this season. What do you think?
Why don't you give us your take first?
I mean, honestly, I don't think they've fully been tested yet, just because, I don't know, they still have a lot of the people in their division they need to play. Like, they got the Patriots, I think, in two weekends. They've been, obviously, they're undefeated. They're looking good. I just don't know if they can match up with someone like that in their division. You don't know how they're going to play against, like, a better team.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Jets – I mean, obviously, we're Jets fans. This is kind of a New York-based deal. But I think the Jets are legit. I think we have the best or second-best defense in the NFL behind the Broncos. I've said that, I think, every single week on the show. And defense can win you a wild. They're in the division with the Patriots, which I basically think means that the only way they get to the playoffs is in the wild card because the Patriots look so good. But I think the Jets are the real deal. The one loss came when Ivory wasn't playing. Chris Ivory leads the NFL in rushing yards per game. Obviously, he's only played three, so it's a small sample size. But if you can run the ball and play have one of the best defenses in the league, you can win you can win football games and win a wild card. And now we have a viable number one receiver in Brandon Marshall. It opens things up for to be an effective number two. He wasn't really good enough to be that number one last year. The whole problem lies at the quarterback position. But I think this team is has a very legitimate chance of getting a wild card spot. What's your take, Horst?
Honestly, the Jets are, I think, a great – just defense is great. Imagine if they had Sheldon Richardson if he didn't go down for his indefinite suspension.
Yeah.
Like, that line is Leonard Williams. You got David Harris at linebacker. You got the two shutdown corners, Cromartie and Revis. I just don't really know where you can go with the ball, like, on offense when you face them. And then they just run the rock and frustrate teams.
Yeah, it's a classic Rex Ryan team is what it is. But I love Bowles. I think the Jets are a viable candidate for one of the wild card spots. And there's a lot of teams in the AFC that just haven't looked that good, that like the Dolphins, that people were really excited about coming in. Think about the teams. Like, the Steelers haven't looked good. The Ravens haven't looked good. Like we said, the Dolphins haven't looked good. Those are the kind of teams, like, the Chargers haven't looked great. Those are the teams that are competing for those wild card spots, and I'd say the Jets look like the best of the of that crop.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What is this caller's name here? Is he still on?
I don't know. What's your
Sorry,
name?
Jack. Call me Jack.
Jack. All right. You're from New York? New Jersey.
I'm from New Jersey.
Jersey. Okay. Are you a Jets guy or a Giants guy?
Jets guy all the way. That's what
obviously. Yeah, so what do you think? You think we're going to the playoffs?
I mean, I'm a diehard Jets fan. I'd like to hope so, but if anyone can screw up a good season, it's the Jets.
Very valid, very valid.
Did you guys get the Jets game, the Thanksgiving Jets game for the butt fumble?
What did you say?
Were you at the butt fumble game?
I was at the butt fumble game. I lived that on Thanksgiving with my whole family. That was fantastic. It was miserable.
I was at the butt fumble game as well. All right, we're going to have to cut this guy off. He's kind of annoying, to be honest, but I think he's a Jets fan, so we'll give him some credit, I guess. He's gone. Hopefully he keeps listening. And I think the Jets – I do think the Jets have a legitimate chance at making the playoffs with their defense.
Yes.
But – yeah, getting back on topic with what we were talking about with the Dolphins. Yeah, it was Sue wearing shoes to practice and the Tannehill getting picked off thing. For me, it's like that's just the opposite of what you want in your quarterback. I mean, he's basically getting big leagued by the practice squad D, and instead of grinding, he basically shits on these guys. It's like it's not the situation you want if you're a Dolphins fan. It's kind of like what I was talking about last week with the Seahawks and how I thought their problems might not be over yet, and all this off the field stuff is like really bad, and it showed up because if it wasn't for a blown call, they might have lost the Lions at home. So this is just a magnified version of what's going on in Seattle. This is a circus act I don't think I've ever seen before, and that's coming from a Jets fan.
Tannehill, like, he said he, like, denied belittling, like, his teammate's paycheck, but, like, he said that he, like, ripped on the squad. So it was, like, kind of weird that he would, like, try and, like, say, oh, I didn't do this one thing and, like, did the other. So he's, like, probably doing both. For a quarterback on a Super Bowl contending team at the beginning of the season, it's just kind of embarrassing for this guy. He's got a smoking hot wife, though.
Yep, she does. He does. She's good. But he is not. I was like, I was thinking Tannehill was going to be solid, and I'm on record on this show saying I thought the Dolphins were going to be good, and I'm in the majority with that. That being said, they've been awful. Like, the new coach, like the guy they brought in, is supposed to be some hard ass, and it's like basically going to be a complete 180 from Philbin, who, like, just by looking at him, he looked soft as shit. So this new guy like made him do Oklahoma drills for an hour and a half today at practice, apparently.
That's unreal.
Yeah. I hope someone gets hurt. That would be pretty funny if someone got hurt. I mean, I don't hope someone got hurt, but it would be pretty funny if like this guy gets crucified for injuring one of like Jarvis Landry gets hurt, like doing Oklahoma drills.
Yeah.
All right, so that's kind of those were kind of the big topics in the NFL this week. The London game, it was a grind for me. I assume you didn't get up and watch it at 6:30.
I saw the back half, the last half, the second half.
Second half?
It was a solid game. We grinded it out.
No, yeah, we looked good. I mean, for a second, it looked like we were going to blow it, but then Revis got the pick in the end zone. Your G-men got a big win in Buffalo. You guys looked pretty good.
Yeah, actually, I was on the Bills last week, but I picked the Giants just because I'm a Giants fan. That was pretty big. They looked really good, 24-10 win. Honestly, that stuff about Odell, have you heard about that stuff where
I saw something about it.
Madonna.
What did he say?
Like, yeah,
oh, the Bills like said that.
On hand checks or something like that. Honestly, I think it's just cornerback getting frustrated with him celebrating, but that's how he does it. It's kind of way. The Giants looked really good. I'm really happy with them, and I'm going to take them this week against the 49ers for sure.
Yeah. That's an interesting game. That's a primetime game. So let's just segue now into these games. First one being the Thursday night game. We moved up the podcast to Wednesday. I think I said last week we're going to try and do it Tuesdays. I just don't think that's conducive to winning when you have that little time to make picks on the spread. So from that standpoint, I decided we would go with Wednesday. So here we are. First game, Thursday night game, Indianapolis going to Houston. Luck will play, but he's banged up. Houston's actually favored by one. And this Colts team is another just huge disappointment. It's like those other teams we were talking about. It's like at this point in the year, the Colts probably should – the Colts could be 0-4. But they're 2-2. They're probably going to win the division. But in this particular game, I think I'm going to go with Houston. I don't like what I've seen from the Colts. The Jaguars, obviously, Luck didn't play, but Luck's going to be hurt in this one. And if Watt can get the pass rush going, you're going to see more Luck interceptions. It's been the trend. I mean, people are going to be scared of this one. The majority of people are taking the Colts. 57% are on the Colts, 43% on the Texans. I think the Texans win this game.
For me, I'm also on the Texans. I'm just questioning about how good Luck's been this year. I mean, he hasn't had a great year by any means, and he's coming in questionable and pretty probably if he plays pretty hurt. So it doesn't seem like he's going to play that well if he does play. So that's why I'm going to be riding with the Texans. I think Vince Wilfork and J.J. Swatt are great run stoppers also, as well as pass stoppers. So I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against them. And Texans are going to win this by more than one.
All right. I like that. Next game, Washington is catching 7 points going to Atlanta, who's looked really good. And Atlanta's been a team. This is interesting because I've basically been betting against Atlanta. I took them in week one against the Eagles. But I've been waiting for that kind of letdown game for them, and it hasn't happened yet. But that being said, I'm going to take the Redskins. I think the Redskins are actually pretty good. They beat the Eagles at home. They got a pump-up speech from your boy Matthew McConaughey against the Eagles. I don't think they're that bad of a team. They've played every game fairly close. And I think they're trending in the right direction. They've got a solid defense. So I'm going to take the Skins in a touchdown.
I'm actually going to be picking the Falcons at a touchdown here. I think I've been on them actually since the beginning. I took them against Dallas. And I think that they're actually a good team. They snuck when I got out against my Giants and when I watched them in that game too. I've just been thinking that their pass game is solid. Devontae Freeman has ended up being a little bit better at running back than people expected for someone that size. And I think they're going to cover the 7 at home.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's you're in the majority with that pick, which isn't, you know, necessarily a bad thing. The Falcons have looked really good, plain and simple. They killed the Texans. That game could have gotten really out of hand.
Yeah, they let them, like, at the end, those last 21 points that they got were basically all garbage time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the game was ugly, but the score did not show how badly they got beaten that game, which is another reason I like the Texans, because the NFL, all the teams are so good that generally when a team gets smoked, they bounce back the next week. And it's a short week, but it's a division game. Really, a division that theoretically they could still win because the Colts have been so bad, and the first step to doing that would be beating the Colts. So it's another reason I kind of like the Texans. But the next game, Cleveland's going to Baltimore. They're giving 6.5 points. Who you got?
I'm hoping that the spread is going to move to +7 for the Browns. I'm actually going to take the Browns if it and once it gets to 7. So I'm going to wait off on betting on that. I just don't think Baltimore is a good team. They give away a lot of turnovers. Joe Flacco just doesn't seem to have the pocket presence. And they just can't really run the ball at all. They had the yards per carry leader last year. And this year they just can't even get like 3 yards, two yards on first down. So I'm actually going to go with the Browns here to cover.
Okay. I'm on the Ravens in this one, and I think you're right, the Texans spread. I'm going to take it now. Most people are taking the Ravens, so I'm going to make sure to get on that now before it potentially does go up 7. So
yeah,
that's something
to
look at.
7 before the game, so I'm going to try and get it at that, but I will not get it at 6.5.
That being said about the run thing, Forsett ran for 150 yards against the Steelers on Thursday.
They could
be turning things around. I think they are. The win, it was a close win. It was kind of a kick in the ass that the Ravens needed. I just think Harbaugh is too good of a coach to not at least make a run at the wild card. When was the last time the Ravens weren't in the playoffs, if you really think about it? Since he's been there, they've been around. They've won a Super Bowl. They gave the Pats all they could handle last year. It's not something you see. The comments about Flacco are spot on. They lost Torrey Smith, who stretched the field. Flacco has such a big arm that he picked up chunks deep down the field, and it really opened things up in the middle and on the intermediate routes. Now they don't really have that deep threat, so defenses can kind of pack the box a little more, make it a little tougher for Forsett, and Flacco can't throw those long passes that he loves. But that being said, I don't think the Browns are any good. The Ravens have a long week. They're playing at home. The Browns just went out to San Diego, had a tough loss, have to come back to the East Coast. I think Baltimore wins this game by a touchdown. Next game, Seattle at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is favored by 3. Last I saw was 2.5. It's gone up to 3.
Mm-hmm. You want to start on that one, or should I go?
You start.
I'm on Seattle here. I think you saw the game against the Lions and the calls that were made. I just think that, honestly, the Seahawks are kind of a team of, like, almost destiny, that they pull out these crazy wins. They're going to pull off another win here, actually. But I'm going to be taking the spread at +3 against the Bengals.
I'm with you. I'm taking Seattle as well. I know it's contradictory to what I said last week about their team kind of being in shambles. But this reeks of the game when Andy Dalton gets annihilated. You know, he always has these amazing starts, and he always plays a big game against a good team. When it's like, are the Bengals for real this year? It's like, maybe they are. And then it's, they play a good team in a big spot, and they get crushed. I'm not saying the Seahawks are going to kill them, but I think they're going to win this game, and I think if you're catching a field goal, I'd get all over it. I love this one.
Yeah, definitely at +3. I'm loving this this line.
So, all right, next game, St. Louis going to Green Bay. St. Louis just upset the Cardinals. I'm on the Packers. It's a classic hangover game. I said it after they beat the Seahawks and they lost to the Redskins. Same thing's going to happen. I mean, I understand that they're playing the Packers, so they'll have to show up. But I just think the Packers are too good at home. It's only 8.5. And the Packers have covered every spread this year. They're 4-0 against the spread. St. Louis has been totally hit or miss, and I think this is a miss for them after that big win in Arizona. Who you got?
I got Green Bay also. They're just so good at home. They lost Jordy Nelson. They've been playing with Devontae Adams hurt, or he's been out, actually. And you know what? They still managed to do it. Randall Cobb, just great slot receiver. And you got Eddie Lacy just pounding the rock whenever they need to. I think Green Bay easily covers here. And I think that the spread moves up to 9.5 or 9 by game time.
Actually, this game's pretty even. It's 52% to 48% in favor of the Rams. So,
really?
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised because people love to bet on the Packers at home. And that could change. It's so such a narrow margin. Also, I didn't mention this, but there's one of the biggest like differentials in betting is on Cincinnati. There's 65% of the money is on Cincinnati, which makes me love the Seahawks.
Yeah,
so Green Bay, I don't think that line's going to move all that much. Maybe up to 9 or down to 8. 8.5 is a good number. Anything really from 7.5, 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9 usually isn't going to make me change my mind on a bet. It's kind of more the like 6.5 to 7, 9.5 to 10, 2.5 to 3, where it gets in like the real scoring that I really like, that it really would affect who I bet on. So I'm going to take the Packers. I would take them at 9. I'd take them at 9.5, maybe not at 10. But if you, it's going to stay around 8.5. And I love the Packers at home.
Yeah, definitely.
Next game, Bears going to Kansas City. Who do you like?
I got the Chiefs in this one. I just still, now that Jay Cutler's back, I mean, they're a better team than they were with Clawson. But I just still don't respect their defense, their offense. They scored no points against the Seahawks. And the Seahawks, I mean, obviously the Seahawks at home, it's tough to score in that environment. But I just think that the Chiefs are going to be able to run the ball with Jamal Charles and have Alex Smith manage the game pretty well. He had his first touchdown to a wide receiver in like 16 weeks last week. So hopefully he keeps that streak going. And I get the Chiefs at more than 2.5 right now, which I like. Or, whoa, 9, sorry.
9. You love that touchdown stat. Just fired that off last week. Who did they play last week? They got stomped by the Bengals.
Yeah. The Bengals are a good team.
Yeah. No, I'm on the Chiefs as well. This reeks of hangover city for the Bears after that dramatic win against the Raiders. Kansas City's a class above the Bears just in general. Kansas City? Like, I don't understand what this, like, who made the schedule. I mean, I know it's, like, a whole system. But they played in back-to-back weeks, three undefeated teams. They played the Broncos, then they went, you know what? They played the Broncos, then they played the Packers, and then they played the Bengals, the last two on the road. So they've kind of been getting boned from their schedule. I don't think we really know. They're obviously, through that, we've seen that they're not going to be one of the really, you know, they might not be a playoff team. People thought they might be, but we still haven't really, I mean, they handled the Texans on the road in there. So I think the Kansas City Chiefs are better than they're being valued at. And this spread is really high. To be honest, you would have thought with Cutler playing, it would have been closer to a touchdown, which threw me at first. And there's actually 61% of the betting public is taking the Bears. So I just don't think people are giving enough credit to Kansas City right now. I think they still do have one of the best pass rushes in the league, certainly one of the best pass rushers in Justin Houston. and maybe the most dynamic running back in the NFL in Jamaal Charles. And the Bears, let's be honest, they've looked like a game-winning field goal against the Raiders at home. You said it on the top at the start of the show. Like, that's nothing to get me taking the Bears. I was on the Bears in that one because I thought they were being undervalued. Now I think they're being overvalued. Hangover City, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Also, Arrowhead is such a hard place to play, and it's like one of the toughest places in the NFL. And I just don't think they're going to be able to handle it.
They should have beaten the Broncos in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. Saints at Eagles, we'll save it till, well, I kind of gave it away. This is actually my top play for this week. And that top play is the Eagles. It seems like a classic Hangover City game for the Saints after that big win at home against Dallas. Breeze historically has been not even close to as good on the road as he is at home. That's an outdoor field. It's not going to be his cushy Superdome that he likes so much. They historically have struggled on the road in recent years. And I just don't think they're a good team. We didn't pick this game last week because we didn't know if Breeze was playing. When we found out Breeze was playing, the horse and I both loaded up on the Saints at -3. So it was looking like it might be a push. We also doubled down second half. So we made a killing on that game. And I think
the missed field goal, the last touchdown to the spread.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome from a gambling standpoint. But that being said, I think they're going to have a hangover from that, and they're going to go up to Philly, a Philly team that's desperate to prove something in a division that's very attainable. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm also on the Eagles here. In the Saints game, Breeze only threw 4 targets that went past 20 yards or 10 yards, I think. And I think he threw 30 within 10 yards, like 1 to 10 yard throws. I just don't think he's that healthy still. It seemed like they were playing a lot of graphics on his shoulder motion when he's throwing. It's just not as far back as he usually does. And I think the Eagles are going to be able to win this one, get to 3-2. And I think that they're going to cover the 4.5.
Okay. Jacksonville, Tampa Bay. This is kind of a bizarre one for me. What's your take?
Yeah, this one's tough. Right now, that line is at 3. I'm actually on Tampa Bay if I can get it at 2.5. But I'm actually not that interested in this game. Both teams just don't really do it for me, honestly.
No, I'm completely with you.
What? Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, this is going to be, like, the worst, like, the lowest-rated football game in NFL history, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the teams
like
are just...
The excitement over Jameis has worn off.
Yeah. He's not any good.
I'm on the Jags. I just think they're better, quite frankly. We saw Tampa Bay get blown out at home by the Titans, who aren't that good. They're better than they've been, but they're still not that good. They got beat pretty handily by the Panthers at home last week. It's a puddle jumper of a trip for Jacksonville staying in the state. I just think Jacksonville is a little bit better team than Tampa Bay. So I
might not even take this game, honestly. This one might.
If I didn't have a vicious gambling problem, I wouldn't take it, but I do, so I'm going to take Jacksonville and the points. The way it was for me, it was like, I think this game's a toss-up, so give me the 3, is more or less what I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right, Buffalo going to Tennessee. They are 2.5-point dogs, or they're 2.5-point favorites. Tennessee is catching 2.5 points. This, to me, looks like Trap Bet City with the Bills. Everyone loves the Bills. They're only favored by 2.5 points, not even a field goal against the Titans, who aren't that good. It seems like Trap Bet City to me. 65% of the public is on the Bills. So I'm gonna go with the Titans here and hope that I'm right about this being a trap.
Okay, I'm actually with the majority here. I'm going with the Bills. I think that Tyrod Taylor is a good, more than a game manager. He can throw it down the field. He can move around in the pocket and extend plays. And honestly, you have the same thing with the Titans, but Mariota's been good, but I just don't think that against the Bills defense, which hasn't been great, but was expected to be much better. I think that Buffalo is going to cover the 2.5 here.
Okay. Valid. Valid for sure. Arizona is going into Detroit, and they are giving 2.5 points. It's actually kind of a similar situation to the Bills-Titans game in a lot of ways. 2.5 points, a team that a lot of people are high on against a team that's not very good. And this is actually, of all the games, I'm taking Detroit. I think it's a similar thing. I think it's a trap. It's not a smart move to gamble looking for traps, so you really got to have them hit you over the head with it if you're gonna try to predict something's a trap. 68% of people taking Arizona, a team people like, a potential Super Bowl contender, going up against the Lions, who aren't very good. I'm pretty sure they haven't won a game. And quite frankly, they impressed me against the Seahawks. Their defense looked really, really good. Their offense had a hard time moving the ball, but that's to be expected in Seattle. I think they're better than they're getting credit for.
Sorry, my mic just went dead there. I just missed that last part that you were talking about. My mic just went dead.
What? Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't. I didn't get that. My shit just died for a second.
Okay. Well, I'm on the Lions. Who are you on?
I'm actually on Arizona. So it looks like we're going to have some games we're against, but I think the Cardinals had a little let up last week and that they're going to step it up. And their offense is going to keep firing. Carson Palmer's going to turn it around from last week. They just couldn't really score in the red zone, but I think that they're going to be able to do it against the Lions. The Lions just did not really run the ball well at all. And I think that Arizona's going to cover the 2.5.
Yep. All right. Next game is, and I misspoke because I said that that was the biggest consensus differential. It's actually the New England-Dallas game with 70% of bettors taking the Patriots and only 30 taking the Cowboys. The spread is 8.5 right now. Who do you have?
This one is tough, especially after the bye week for New England. I wish I could have seen them this week for this game, but I actually have the Patriots too. I have them at 8.5, and I just think that Tom Brady and that offense is just really, really tough stuff. And that with Tony Romo to give the possibility of long deep throws to switch up for the running game, if the Patriots is just going to shut down both and take this big step.
Yeah, I'm on the Patriots too. You give Belichick a bye week, you're in a lot of trouble. And basically, what it comes down to is that game in Dallas. More than what it really showed me was that the Cowboys have Romo and Dez, because as much as we want them to be, and they are with those guys, their offense is their offense can't get it done. Without them. Their running game, they lost Dunbar now for the season, I believe. And they looked good for a second against Atlanta, but after this last six quarters of football they played have been pretty bad. And I thought this spread should have been over 10, to be honest. I thought it should have been 10.5, 11 in favor of the Patriots.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's probably going to move up now, especially with the action on the Patriots too. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. We're both on the Pats. The line will be moving up, so get it now. Get it while it's hot. Next game, Denver's going to Oakland, and they're only giving up 4.5. Who do you like?
I've got Denver. I mean, Oakland, I just don't think is a very good team. They lost last week to the Bears. I mean, they had a chance to beat them, but, I mean, the Bears are a dog shit team as well. I mean, the Broncos have squeaked out a few wins pretty luckily. But I think that they're going to handle the Raiders on the road in that terrible stadium.
Okay. Stadium is bad. Raiders are improving. I was against them last week because they shouldn't have been favored by 3.5 against the Bears on the road. I like them in this spot this week. To be honest, I think they are pretty good. I think Denver has not shown that they're capable of blowing teams out with the current state Peyton Manning's in. We were both on the Vikings last week. They had a chance to win that game.
They definitely did.
At the end of the day, what it boils down to is the Broncos haven't looked as good as they have in the past on the offensive side of the ball. The defense is improved, but I think I'll take the Raiders with 4.5. I could see the Broncos losing this game, which is kind of a ridiculous claim. You would have thought, especially at the start of the year, if you had told me I'd be thinking the Raiders could potentially beat the Broncos, I would have told you that I was crazy, but that's where I am right now. They just came off a really emotional, tough loss to the Bears. I think they show up ready to play in a division game.
Okay.
Okay. Next game we have is the Sunday night game. Your G-men with the 49ers coming to town. I'll let you take the floor on this. What do you like? What do you think about your boys?
I think after the Bills game, the 2014 win at the Bills Stadium, I think that the Giants are going to keep it going. I think Tomlin's got this team moving in the right direction. It looks like Eli was getting some other wide receivers involved. I think they were using Odell more of as a potential threat, and then they were going off that and throwing to Harris. They were throwing to Reuben Randall. And they were just moving around the ball pretty well. The defense looked good. They only gave up 10 points. And I think that the 49er team just isn't that good. Kaepernick is not Russell Wilson. And I just think that Carlos Hyde has only had like 30 yards in the past two games just because they've been getting blown out the entire time. So they can't even use their strength.
I'm on the Giants as well. The Giants, I'm going to be honest, are a team I don't really have figured out because they've looked so good at times and so bad at others. But that's kind of like how the Giants have been like for a while now, right? Like even those Super Bowl teams were at some point during the regular season.
9-7.
Yeah, exactly. So the Niners have looked awful. I was on them against the Packers. I kept hoping that they would gut it out because the Packers weren't on their A game. I was playing against Rodgers and Lacy in fantasy, and we got a win because those guys didn't do that much. They only scored 17 points. It was also hilarious, too, because I was like, all right, so any Green Bay touchdown, we're giving up 6 to this guy because they have Rodgers and Lacy. And Kuhn got a one-yard touchdown run. So that was kind of funny. They're just – I think I'm just done with the Giants. The 49ers. I'm taking the Giants. Should cover the number. I just don't think the Niners are any good. It's that simple for me.
Okay.
Everyone is going to get to see Mike Vick again. In prime time, what are the chances Big Ben goes down and we get back-to-back Mike Vick prime time games? They're going out to San Diego. Who do you like?
I like San Diego here. I was on Pittsburgh, and obviously they brutal tie of the spread when we thought that Pittsburgh had it locked up. They started off hot, but the offense definitely cooled down in the second half. They couldn't really move the ball that well. Vic missed some easy throws, one especially to Antonio Brown. And I think Phillip Rivers, I mean, they've been using Woodhead well, and they've got Melvin Gordon, who hasn't really been factored in yet, but I think against Pittsburgh, they'll mix it up a little bit, run, pass, like 50-50. And I think that San Diego's going to cover in the primetime game.
This was an interesting one for me because the spread was not really – usually if you ask me to guess a spread at this point, I can usually put it within at least two of the number. This one I thought San Diego was going to be favored by a touchdown. And they're only favored by three, which seems weird to me because Vic has shown that he's not – or, you know, that – well, he hasn't really shown anything. They didn't really give him much of a chance against the Ravens. And if they had opened them up a little more, who knows, maybe they won the game. Obviously, it was all Scobie's fault. For me, yeah, in this game, it's going to boil down to Le'Veon Bell. And I'm going to take the Steelers for that reason. I think Le'Veon is the best running back in football. What do you have going on over there?
What? Do you hear something?
Yeah.
I'm just eating a piece of goldfish, bro.
yeah, I think Le'Veon Bell. I think it's something else. I think it's something with my headset. Le'Veon Bell is the best running back in football, in my opinion. And I think he showed that they want it. They're going to give him a heavy dose of the ball because Big Ben is out. Chargers have not looked good. They're a team I wanted to be good. I thought they would be. It seems like they're just not that good. They had a really tough time with the Browns at home last week. And they won by a game winning field goal. I had the Chargers and I had the Chargers in my elimination pool and, they got a penalty to move up the field goal and then they made it on the, after that. And I was like, really, I thought I was going to cruise in that one because it was a bet I liked. They were favored by a touchdown, and I liked them at a touchdown, so I went with them as my elimination pick. Squeaked by, but at the end of the day, it's just another West. It's another California team that I don't think is that good, and I think the Steelers are better than the Browns. The Browns just went out there, only lost by three. I think the Steelers could win this game, so I'll take the points.
Okay, I can see that. I can see Le'Veon Bell having a big night.
The other thing is, I just love betting on Vic because I don't want to cheer against him.
Yeah, that's true. He's pretty swag out there with his visor. I don't know how he sees his receivers.
Who knows if he even does. The guy threw so many picks last year for the Jets. I don't even know if it's as much picks with him as it is. He fumbles the ball a good amount. So that's the show. I also wanted to say one thing about last week, even though we went 8-6-1, the games we were both on the same side, we went 6-2, 6-2-1, with the push being courtesy of Josh Scobie. The games we are on the same side on, we went 6-2. So I thought I'd give you a rundown of what those games were for this week because we're actually on the opposite sides of a bunch of games, but we're both on the Texans. We're both on the Seahawks. We're both on the Packers. We're both on the Chiefs. We're both on the Eagles. We're both on the Patriots, and we're both on the Giants. So those are the ones to look out for, and we'll keep a running total of that as well, moving forward. So that if it looks like we crush games we're both on, people can load up on those, and maybe if we're separate on stuff, just stay away from it.
Also, about last night, we took the Astros. It was a pretty easy win. Followed a lot of the predictions we both made. It's an easy cash. We got the Cubs tonight. If anybody is interested in that one,
if you listen to the MLB picks show yesterday, we were all over the Astros. We thought Tanaka was going to be susceptible to homers. The horse made a great point about that. About it being a home run friendly park and Tanaka having a problem giving up homers. It happened, two solo shots. Those balls were both annihilated. They would have been out of any stadium in the world. Yeah. But that being said, we did mention, I should give credit to the horse. He mentioned home runs being basically the focal point of the Astros offense and it being a problem for Tanaka. It's what played out. We're both on the Cubs and Arrieta tonight. He's, He's not on short rest like Keuchel was, and it didn't look like Keuchel had any problems on the road or on short rest from what we saw. And we're expecting Arrieta to dominate tonight. That being said, Gerrit Cole has won 8 of his 9 starts against the Cubs.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole is no slouch. He's a great pitcher.
And I'm no slouch myself. So that's that. If you want to still listen to that podcast, go for it, because we made predictions in the other series as well and talked about some other good stuff. So that's kind of the show. I'm going to keep – we're going to stay on a little bit longer just because we got a couple minutes left in our hour. Horace, I just took the U.S. Cup and the President's – or the U.S. team and the President's Cup at minus 270.
Really? Is that on USA or is that under FIFA Confederations?
No, the U.S. Golf team in the President's Cup.
How did you get that?
So it's under golf. Well, it's already started now, I think, so you might not be able to get in on it. Let me check.
Is it like a prop?
No, it's just a, like, it's like golf. You go to golf. It's like President's Cup, U.S. -270.
I see it at minus 210. I might hop in on that with you.
You got 210?
Yeah.
Damn, I got minus 270 on top bet.
That's brutal. President's Cup tournament winner?
Yeah. Maybe I'll double down on I'm going to double down on that on Bookie Market, I think.
I'm down to get in on that too, actually.
It's like a 12-hour – like, I think it's going to be going on – I think it's going to be going on because of the time difference, really, really late.
Really? It might be different for me. I wouldn't
mind having something really late to watch.
I'm gonna have to get my boy to give me a few more credits, actually, because we got none available. Not in a bad way, just like all for this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did I tell you last fall I made like the biggest bet of my life on the U.S. team in the Ryder Cup, and we got smoked by Europe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, unreal.
Yeah, it was a tough look, because not only were we watching the U.S. squad get crushed, but I was also like, I was up a lot at the time, and I was like basically like trying to really put this guy away, and instead I just like went back to even.
Oh, okay. That's all right. What is this being played?
What? It's being played in Asia somewhere. I'm not sure where. I don't really care that much, to be honest, but I like a good old fashioned Ryder Cup format. The horse and I were almost on a Ryder Cup team together, but he didn't play well enough.
You talking about the USGA or Met PGA?
Yeah, the Kuhn Cup.
The Kuhn Cup.
I played with Taylor, and a guy on our team. It was a classic Long Island Westchester Ryder Cup format, and this guy and I were on the Long Island team out of the same golf course, and the horse failed to make the team because he had so many withdrawals.
That was a big thing for me back in the day.
Yeah, so that would have been cool, but and a guy Charlie Garcia had a hole in one right, he was in the group behind us, made a hole in one. It was pretty cool. I'm looking at these early line on the Mets game is plus 170 for the Mets, not the series. Well, the series is something like that too. But,
no, I got the series at plus 170.
Yeah, the game is plus 170 on Friday. So, I mean, obviously I'm going to hammer the Mets, even though they hammered me the last. Like, I had to double down so much on the Saints game in the second half that, like, I still wasn't able to get back to even. It was, like, basically I was down, like, I lost $600. I bet $100 on the Mets every game this week, every game last week. They lost five in a row and then won 1-0, didn't cover the spread in the last one. So other than, so I was down 600, I was 600 in the hole, and then I had to like bet 300 on, or I, yeah, I had to bet like 600 on the Saints to get back to even. And then I doubled down and I took the Lions on Sunday, on Monday night to like, if it wasn't for the Mets, like I might've put this guy out of business.
Yeah. The Mets, I was actually off on the Mets for those. But that's just because
which is surprising.
Yeah, I know. I'm usually always on the Mets, but I was just waking up late on those days, and I just actually was planning on betting on them and just like slept through it.
Well, dude, so that last game, I was like, all right, I'm just not going to bet this one. And it was like starting. This is classic. It was like I woke up, and there was like 15 minutes before the game started, and I was like looking at it, and it was like DeGrom on the mound. And I was like, fuck it, I'm taking the Mets. Like, I just, like, because I can't have the Mets win and me not be on them, you know?
Yeah, like, it's the worst.
It just makes the win like not as gratifying. But yeah, it also makes the loss way worse. But that's the gambling life, you know. That's the reason we do it, or that's the reason people who have problems do it.
Actually,
like,
I just picked up
need a dog in the fight
because of my gambling efforts on the Mets.
You just picked up a what?
Just picked up an Xbox with my gambling efforts on the Mets.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to the guy. I was talking to my bookie at the bar the other night, and I was like, if it wasn't for the Mets, I would have had you again because I've been really killing this guy this year. And he was like, yeah, but you won like a grand betting them like in September, so like I don't, you know, it's not like they really screwed me that bad.
And also that one streak with the Nationals that kept coming from behind, those were huge. That's what basically got me.
Absolutely electric, those games. I am so fired up about the playoffs. I just got a sweatshirt in the mail, a Mets sweatshirt from Barstool, and it came out just like complete dog shit. I think it looked like the ink was running out or something because it's like one of those yo nose shirts about Cespedes. And the yo is like supposed to be in neon, like his sleeve. And then it's like yo nose BS ball. And the BS ball is like in Mets, like orange and blue. And the yo is in like the big neon. But it came out like looking like a vomit green.
That's real. Was it on the
blue screen last night? No, it was on Barstool. So I'm going to have to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to like take a picture of it and try and email it in and be like, yo, is this supposed to look like this? And probably won't hear back and just wasted $35. But that's what happens when you buy a $35 sweatshirt.
How much are you on the USA and the President's Cup?
All right. So here's what happened with that. I bet to win 1,000 Mets over regular season wins. That just came through on Top Bets, you know, like where I make all my big like futures and stuff. That's where I had like Pat Super Bowl and Curry MVP and Rangers
yeah.
Stanley Cup and Mets World Series. The
Rangers Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah. The odds aren't that good. We're one of the favorites. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but, the future I like there is I'm going to take Paul George to win the MVP.
P. George.
Yeah, I think he's going to – I don't necessarily think he's going to win the MVP, but I think he's got good value. If the Pacers go back to being one of the, like, top three teams in the East, and he's been tearing it up in the preseason, which is the preseason. But, all right, so anyway, so that bet, I was like, the Mets had hit the bet, like, early in September. It was obvious we were going to win over 84 games. But you have to wait until the season ends before your account gets the money in. So I got $1,000 in my account and from that, and I was just like made a panic, like risk $1,000 on the US to win the President's Cup. Yeah.
Let's go. All right. I'm going to ride hard with you also.
So, but it was only because it's minus on that site, it's minus 270. So it was like, to
you got
win.
Phone.
Yeah. So if basically, if the U.S. loses in the President's Cup, I'm going to be, like, pretty bummed out. It's like waiting all season, like, for that Mets money to come in. And, like, I was panicked because I thought it was about to start. I was like, and it was like, all right, I have to bet a lot of money to make this a substantial win because of the odds are so fucked. And I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to bet it all.
That's something.
So I'm going to be watching, like, I'll probably, like, be up at, like, 5 in the morning, like, watching fucking Danny Lee, like, grind out a one-footer in his match against, like, Matt Kuchar or something, like, with $1,000 on the line.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch that now. Do you think that's going to be on Golf Channel?
Yeah, it definitely. They've been doing the live from the President's Cup stuff all week. I don't know when it starts. Does it start tomorrow or today? I don't know what the deal is with the time difference.
I don't know. Where is it?
I can tell you that I'm looking at the teams right now. The KJ Choi is the captain of the international squad, and Jay Haas is the captain of the.
How hard should I ride on this with you? Should I go like 250 maybe?
Oh, what the fuck, dude? Jay Haas picked Bill Haas as his captain's pick. It's his fucking son.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, this team looks good, though. Like, the U.S. team is Spieth, Bubba, Jimmy Walker, Zach Johnson, DJ, Ricky Fowler, Kuchar, Patrick Reed, Phil. It's all the big guns. And then for them, it's looking at their team, it's actually a lot better than I was expecting when I made the bet. Jason Day, Louis Oosthuizen, Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama, Brandon Grace. Like, these teams are pretty good. Yeah, Hideki. Hideki's nice, dude.
Remember I was on him for the U.S. Open?
Yeah. I'm trying to – all right, let's see. This thing is on Jack Nicklaus Golf Club in Korea. I'm guessing it's not North Korea.
Yeah.
So – yeah, it starts airing at 10 p.m. Holy
10 p.m. for you, that means that it's going to be 7 for me.
Yeah. This is actually not bad, though. This is kind of something I can watch. You know, like in bed, even.
Yeah.
This is bizarre. It's like, I guess it's a 12-hour difference. Yeah, I think it's like a 12-hour. I think it's a 12-hour difference because these times are like on Thursday it's 2 to 7 p.m. Well, no, that wouldn't make sense because then they'd be playing. Could that be a rerun though? Like these times don't make any sense at all. No, that would be the afternoon. Yeah. I can't figure it out. I'm not gonna try and figure it out. I'm just gonna look at the fucking TV guide.
Should I ride with you on it? Is that going to be our ride?
Why not?
I'm down.
Oh, dude, we got some swag assistant captains. Freddie Couples, Davis Love, and Stricker.
That's dope.
Plus, don't you think Spieth's just kind of – it's just one of those years where he, like, wins everything he looks at?
Yeah, he just has to win it. Dude, he's been dirty, like, I mean, obviously. If he had done the fourth –
that would have been pretty sweet. Jason Day's also been on fire, too. That, dude, that's some primetime TV. When those two play in the singles, Jason Day and Spieth, that's going to be awesome.
They say well on it?
What?
You think they'll get matched up against each other?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're the best player for both teams. That's one that you'll be able to bet on, like, even odds on, like, on that specific match. You know what? Maybe I'm going to hammer I'm getting into this. This is what happens with me with gambling every time. I'll, like, bet one game of, like, some event like this and then, like, watch it. And, like, by the end of the week, I'm, like, betting on every single thing I can. It was, like, with when the World Cup comes around, like, by the end of the thing, I've got, like, I'm betting, like, Neymar, like, over-under goals, like golden ball winner, like, golden boot winner, like, all this stuff. I don't even know what it means. So, like, I might, yeah, like, it could be, like, Sunday at, like, 2 in the morning, and I'm, like, I have, like, $200 on Chris Kirk against Sangmun Bae. That's gambling, though.
That's what it does to you.
And it's been good to me. I mean, shit, like, we have this whole show because we've won money gambling. Like, why? Those are the dangerous ones, though. The thing, those are the dangerous ones, like, for us as people who love betting on our team. It's like, because you're so blind about it. Like, I think I lost a pretty good amount of money betting on the Knicks last year.
I was actually not on the Knicks, thank God.
And it's like, the Knicks were so bad, and somehow I still take them. What?
Your team gets hot, it's huge.
What's huge?
If your team gets hot, like in your betting on.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's like, it's just not a really good way to try and make money gambling, because it's like the second I see a glimmer of hope from like one of my teams, I'm like, it's happened with the Mets, like at the start of every season, I'm like, yep, we're back. Luckily this year we were back, and I don't love the way we trended going into the playoffs, but it's like the Knicks could have one good game and Melo could go for like 40, and I'd be like, yep, we're good again. Just because it's like, you want your teams to be good so bad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Bills, I'm going to have to dip out pretty soon.
So like from a gambling standpoint, that's not really the best way to be effective. And this President's Cup thing is probably going to like make me lose all the money I've won this year. But if it means like, but if they win, it's going to be like the coolest, best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Bills, I got a piece. I gotta go to class.
All right. We'll catch, I'm sure no one stayed on, so peace.
Yeah. Billions, man.